Good morning.
Good morning.
We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by the authority of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We'll speak responsibly the introit for this morning. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I waited patiently for the Lord. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds in your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, as it was in the beginning. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, is taken from 1 Samuel, beginning with chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." This is the word of the Lord. Let's join reading responsibly the gradual. "Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, beginning at chapter 6. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord, and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I was thinking of a time in a former church. It was when the one phone service had the commercial, "Do you hear me now?" that was, you know, constantly, you know, playing. And I remember doing that at the church for a sermon. I actually started, I turned and I said, "Do you hear me now?" And I went and I knelt and I said, "Do you hear me now?" And then I moved out into the congregation and different places, said it again. Of course, people chuckled about it, you know. It was, you know, sure, it was cutesy kind of thing, I guess. But, you know, it was the point. You know, I think a lot of us wonder, does God hear us? Maybe in today's Old Testament lesson, we might say, are you listening to God? You know, are you listening to God, or are you listening to something else or someone else? Now, in the Old Testament lesson today, we hear about Samuel as a young man. Y'all may remember about Hannah, his mother, who had for a long time been without child, and you know, her servant handmaiden, kind of, or the other wife of her husband, made fun of that fact because it was seen as a rejection by God, not receiving that ability to have a child. To be barren was considered to be, you know, unblessed by God. For children were a blessing. And hopefully they still are a blessing. You know, at least seen that way, because truly children are a blessing. Well, Samuel was promised to God. That's what Hannah did. She prayed at the temple, and she prayed that if God would grant her a child, she would give it back to God to dedicate his life to service in the temple. So that's why we find Samuel, a young boy, in the temple under the tutelage of Eli, who's the high priest. And there we are told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. And if you were to read Samuel, you would understand why that was. And I don't really care to get into that here, but, you know, it's a good place to start, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and you'll hear about that. And what was going on, that one might consider that to be the case. We're also at a time near the end of Judges. In fact, Samuel will be the last judge of Israel. His role will be more of a prophet, a priest, and a king maker. You may recall about Samuel, he anointed Saul to be the first king over Israel. So that's a little bit about Samuel. But right now, Samuel really doesn't, or has not heard God, his voice, speaking to him before. In fact, it describes him as no knowledge of God. Now, it's not that he wasn't aware of God or didn't believe in God. It's just in that personal way that would come about. This was before that took place. This is the calling of Samuel. And then everything changes after that. But up to that point, Samuel hasn't heard a word from God. He isn't the prophet yet that he's going to be. Anyway, so here we have the story of that calling. And we hear that Eli has grown old now. His eyes are weak or dim. And I'm not sure how old that would be, because even at my age, my eyes seem like they have grown dim. I hear my father saying, "Turn on the light, son. You only have one pair of eyes." So, and because I need more light, it seems like it's not bright enough at times. Maybe he was just 65. Who knows? Maybe he was older. But he's getting up in years. Now he's had some incidences where God has given him some news that isn't so good, and God's going to follow through on it. And we don't hear that in the reading today, but you can read further on down beyond 10, and you'll hear, because the message for Eli and his sons isn't a happy one, but it is a message that is being fulfilled. And that's the important part. Now, God has given plenty of opportunity for Eli and his sons to come around, and they don't. But, you know, judgment does come. God's judgment comes. But the thing I find really interesting about this section and this story, the calling of Samuel, is God's grace that floods out on Samuel. To be chosen by God, to hear that voice, which perhaps all of Israel has longed to hear a word from God. If God would only, you know, say something to us, give us some kind of direction. The people were getting antsy. If you recall anything about the time of the judges, Israel was more of just independent tribes. You know, they had their borders, they had all that stuff set out when they crossed into the Holy Land. They've been hounded by the Philistines. There's been all that stuff going on where the Philistine come, they raid these tribes, and then the tribes kind of band together, and a judge leads them, and they usually are victorious, except for Samson. One time it didn't look like he was going to be victorious, but y'all know that story and how that turned out. But here we have a time period when there is no voice from God being spoken about. Eli is not saying, "Well, thus saith the Lord." He doesn't say anything about anything that God has perhaps told him. And in the story, we see that Eli is very interested in what God has to say. But you will have to read further. I'm encouraging you to read the story if you haven't figured that out yet. But so I'm resisting telling you. That would be like running to the end of the story and saying, "Oh yeah, you know how it ends." So anyway, some of you may recall the story. Do any of you recall the story of Samuel and about Eli and his sons? No? See? Oh, there we go. One. All right. So, don't tell anyone. They got to read. All right. So, in this, we hear God speaking to Samuel. He calls Samuel. And it's late at night. And one could understand why Samuel would go to Eli. God hasn't spoken to him before. He just hears his name, so he goes and he says, "Here am I." And Eli says, "Well, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And so then we hear it happening, a total of three times before Eli realizes what's going on and says, "Well, go back, and when you hear the voice, because it's God who is calling you." He says, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" And so we hear that's what he does. "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" And then the rest of the story, in a sense, like Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. But, you know, is for you to read. I may allude to a little bit of it, but the thing is that it gets down to where Samuel grows, and as he matures, as he becomes older, he speaks the word of God because God has commanded him to speak His word. And that when he speaks his word, he speaks with authority, in a sense, God's authority, because it's not his word that he winds up speaking to Israel, but it is the word that God gives him to speak. And as these words become evident through their fulfillment, or God's promise being fulfilled, we might say it that way, the people realize that Samuel is a great prophet in their midst. And so this is the beginning for Samuel. This is the beginning. And also it tells us a lot. It teaches us a lot. It teaches us about how God reveals himself. God didn't reveal himself, let's say, as he revealed himself to Saul in the New Testament in a blinding light. But he does reveal himself. Really, it wasn't the blinding light when you think about it. It was the word that revealed what the blinding light was about. Because it's the blinding light, he ain't seeing nothing, right? So it's the word, you know. And that word was, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And so the word comes, and the word is that which creates faith in the hearts of people. God chooses that as his means to create faith in the hearts of all people. And he has used his spokesmen down through the ages. The first one, of course, would have been Adam and Eve, who would have told their children about that first promise, the promise that one day there would be a Savior, a child born that would conquer for them the devil, the old tempter, the father of lies, would conquer him, would conquer sin and death. They would have been the first people who would have told this wonderful gospel. And it would pass on down from generation to generation to generation. There's a reason God chose the people of Israel. They were the promised ones from the beginning, in a sense. They are how God plans to save the world. And first He's going to do it just as He has always done it, through His speaking. So He speaks to Israel. He speaks to His prophets. His prophets speak to the nation. His prophets speak to the teachers of the law. They in turn turn to the people and they speak the word of God. They speak that word to the nations as well. Sometimes God has to move the Israelites out of their homes to do so through captivity, but He's able to spread that message of the coming Savior who would one day be born. Because Daniel would have spoke about it when the nation of Israel was in captivity. He would have spoke about it because that was who Daniel was. A prophet and a man of God who wasn't afraid to speak up. Who wasn't afraid because God gave him the words to speak. He gave him the words that caused the king to admire Daniel and think of Daniel in a very fond way and loving way. And it hurt him when he was tricked into having to put Daniel into a lion's den. Because the political intrigue, just like today, politics gets in the way and people aren't listening to the truth that God speaks. How that king's heart was lifted when he discovered Daniel unharmed the next day. That the lion's mouths had been shut. They didn't feed on Daniel. Because God watched over him. But the Word of God was spreading. The Word of God was being proclaimed. The Word of God goes out into the world in that way, and it has authority, that Word. That Word changes people. It changes hearts. It wakens them up. It displaces the darkness in people's lives. Because they discover that life, which at times may seem meaningless or without purpose, does have purpose. And there is meaning to it. And there's only one place we can really find that answer, and it is in the Word of God. God asks us, really, are you listening? Are you listening? Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." We also, because of Christ, speak to God in that way. Speak to us, Lord, we are listening because we are your people. You have called us, maybe not in the same way as Samuel. I doubt many were all called in the same fashion or the same way. I mean, we were probably most of us baptized as infants brought into the family of God, but in the sense of growing and learning about Jesus, because we could say, well, we might have had faith in our hearts, but we didn't know really what that was about. Our parents raised us and talked to us about God, just as Hannah did with Samuel, because she didn't take him and drop him off until he was weaned at the temple. So there was time she had with him to talk to him about God, to speak to him the words of God that had been handed down to the Israelites, to the Hebrew people. She would have perhaps told him about how God delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. She would have told them about how they wandered in the wilderness because they were not faithful when they first got to the promised land, and God caused them to have to wander for 40 more years, and how that generation that was first there passed away, but then they entered into this promised land, this place where you, Samuel, are a citizen. You are a member of this tribe, this Levite tribe. He would have grown up hearing the stories, at least up to that point. Just as you and I, perhaps, if you were baptized as an infant and raised by Christian parents, you would have heard the stories because your parents would have read them to you. You might not have understood the words that were being spoken, but God's Spirit was in you, moving within you, creating that faith in you, growing that faith as you heard that word. Because you see, that word, it will accomplish what God intends it to. It will never go out without accomplishing what God intends it to. It was so for Samuel, and it's so for each of us as well who are in Christ. Yeah. There's a lot I don't remember up to probably the age of probably later, maybe 3.5, I don't think so, maybe 4. I'm pretty sure I remember some stuff at 4. But I know my parents and I know what they would have done. So it's not a memory thing. I'm saying, oh, I remember when my parents did that for me. No, I don't. But I know them and I know their hearts were for God and their intent was to raise us in the faith. And that's what they did. So the Word of God is that which we long for and we listen to. It is that Word that gives us knowledge of God. It is that Word of God that we draw close to God and near to Him. It is that Word of God that Jesus said when He was standing in the midst of the people, is in your presence. The kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is in your hearts. The kingdom of God, He could have said, standing in front of you. Because Jesus is the kingdom. And you and I have been made one with Him. It's what St. Paul talks about to the Corinthians. He talks about how we are one with Him in spirit. We have been joined together with Him, just as a husband and wife are joined together and they become one body. So it is, he says, with us and Christ. We are joined with Him and so we are one spirit. So His Spirit dwells within us. And you, he says, are the temple of God. You are the temple. It's interesting, you see, Samuel was in the temple, but at that time, the temple was not the person. It wouldn't have been in the person of Samuel. It wouldn't have been in the person of anyone in Israel. Oh, God did allow His Holy Spirit on certain individuals. We know that. But it wasn't poured out on all the people like after Pentecost. Then the Holy Spirit is poured out on all people. Because that's God's plan, and that's what God said He would do, and God fulfilled it. Remember the sermon that Peter gave on that day of Pentecost. This happened to fulfill the words of Joel, who said that in the last days, the Spirit of God would be poured out on all people. God fulfills His Word. God's Word is reliable. We can trust it. When we hear preachers proclaiming the Word of God, and we know that it is the Word of God, we know we can trust it. If there's a preacher proclaiming some other word that is not from Scripture, then it is not a word you and I can trust. But that which comes from the Word of God, down through the ages, down through the millenniums, that is the word we can trust. That is the word of promise. And Jesus fulfills that word. Jesus is the last word. He is the fulfillment of all the words that are written down in Scripture. And there is but one thing left really to fulfill. And that's His return. But we know that to be certain. We know that will come about. Even though at times we may become frustrated and think to ourselves, gee, we don't really hear much from God lately. Look at what's happening throughout the country. Look what's happening throughout the world. Does God even care? Is He involved in anything anymore? And the answer is yes. Yes, He is, because His Word is certain. And God never, ever says anything that He doesn't mean. There is no word that God has never fulfilled. He said there will be a day, and that day will be quick. When it happens, it will be sudden. There will be no time to turn back to get anything, because it will just be that way. There will be no time to get my affairs straightened out and get myself ready or put on a proper suit to meet the Lord in. No, there's not going to be time for that. It will be sudden, and He will be in our midst. And that day will be a day of joy for all of God's people. But it will also be a day of judgment, as sadly fell upon Eli and his sons. But I'm leaving that up to you all to read it. And meditate on the Word of God, because all of it is written for our instruction. All of it is so that we understand God's love for us and His will for us. God always wants us to, always when we fall or when we turn away, to turn back. He always wants to grant us forgiveness. So He is quick to forgive any of us who come to Him after sinning and saying to Him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And He does. He doesn't wait around for you to maybe prove it, prove that you're sincere. He doesn't do. Excuse me. He doesn't do that. It's immediate. It's at that moment. When you hear in your mind, perhaps, or in your heart, yes, for Christ's sake, I forgive you. We don't have to wonder if He does, because He says He does. That's His Word. See what a wonderful thing God's Word is. What it does for us. The confidence we gain from it. The confidence that God is in control of everything about my life. Just as He was in control about everything in Samuel's life. He's always in control of everything going on. He's always aware of our struggles and our joys. He's always there with us. That's why He knows them. He is with you now, and He will be with you to the end. I can say that with confidence because, you see, Jesus said it. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for Your blessing of faith. And we pray, Lord, that as You have granted us Your Spirit, that You would always keep us walking according to Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God and in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, You have called us into the fellowship and priesthood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. By His incarnation and great work of salvation, heaven is open to us in Him. Give us boldness to cling to Your faithful call, that Your deliverance would not be hidden but spoken freely in all the world. Lord, in Your mercy. Gracious God, preserve Your church here and throughout the world. Send forth laborers into Your harvest and sustain those You have sent, especially Matthew, our Senate President, Michael, our District President, and Wayne, our Circuit Visitor. Make all Christians bold in confession and unwavering in prayer. Lord, in Your mercy. Father, You have given us Your Holy Spirit, making our bodies Your temple and knitting us together into the mystical body of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us courage and constancy to treasure Your gift of holy marriage. Preserve Your Christians in true chastity, the married in honorable faithfulness to one another, and the unmarried in honorable purity. For You have bought us with the precious price of Your Son's blood to glorify You in our bodies. Lord, in Your mercy. Almighty God, You are the Lord, and You do whatever seems good to You. As every lawful authority on earth comes from You, uphold the righteousness and health our nation with its leaders. Preserve in wisdom and honor Joseph, our President-elect, Kamala, our Vice-President-elect, Greg, our Governor, and all public servants, including our armed forces, police, and first responders. Send peace in our time. Lord, in Your mercy. O God, behold in mercy all for whom we pray. Especially we lift up to You Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Peggy Spitzenberger, Robert Galabias, Alfred Dearson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilfred Defoe, and the families of Devon Wood and Bruce Ballard. We also lift up Maxine and her mother. Bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to all in need. Receive our thanks for Your constant watch and merciful kindness in every sorrow and every joy. Do not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of Your kindness in Christ Jesus, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Lord, in Your mercy. Holy Lord, renew the gift of Your Holy Spirit to all who commune this day. Work in us true contrition to lament and abandon our sins, and so to come in confident faith to eat Your Son's body and blood and drink His blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, our Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, So in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in His most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in His name and as He has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in joy and peace. Amen. pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord look upon you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.
Are we on? Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to invite you all back to the fellowship hall after service for coffee and donuts, or what are we having? What? Cake?
We have a cake that Susan and a cake that Carol made. We are doubly blessed.
We're good to go. Okay. And then after that, we'll have our adult Bible class in Sunday school. And I want to remind you all about the voters meeting next Sunday after church. And I want to wish a happy birthday to Christy Gonzalez on the 19th, Steve Grissom on the 21st, and Austin Roskowski on the 22nd. Would there be any other announcements from the congregation? Okay. Carolyn?
My daughter said that Wayne Stewart announced to all his congregation that he has COVID.
Really?
Yes. Mm.
Circuit visitor.
Until today, because we're going to, Pastor and I are going to.
We're kicking him out.
We're going to kick him out.
No, he doesn't want to be circuit counselor anymore. We're
oh, so he's isolated? Is he isolated? Praise to the Lord. Yeah. We can all.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Just one other thing. Maxine's mom has COVID, and Maxine is kind of self-quarantining. I believe she has gotten results back, or if she's been tested yet, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's going around, isn't it? I got my shot last Thursday.
I got mine. I get my checkup dose next Saturday.
Yeah. She gets them for work. I'm getting mine to the Belleville Hospital. They have the vaccine, and that's where I'm going. And, but she. Yeah, well, that's where I got the Moderna. Okay, if there's no more announcements, let's close with hymn 644.
The 644.
644.
The church is one foundation.
That's, yeah, one we know. Okay, please rise.